Good morning. It is good to see you all here, and what a blessed day it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, where we were last week. I'm going to read the same scripture, but different message today. So Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to please stand if you're able as I read from God's Word. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. That's something I want us to really think on, had everything in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask and pray, God, as we continue to break bread together and have fellowship, we ask, Lord, that you will increase the numbers of our church. But Father, we know that it's most important that our hearts are growing, that, Father, our hearts are being changed, because, Father, we can't reach those outside of here if we ourselves are not submitting to you and surrendering to you and living for your will and obeying your commandments. So, Father, today, teach us, Father, how to be the model church. We know we're not perfect, dear God, but, Lord, you work in us. And Father, help us to strive to be our best for you and also to love you and to love each other. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let everything come from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'll kind of rehash a little bit from last Sunday that I told you that the model church that is being talked about is not a church of perfect people. So I want to make that statement again. We are not perfect as long as we live in this flesh. So whatever you do, don't try to be perfect. You're never going to meet that mark on the face of this earth. Now, when you and I get to heaven, we will be made perfect. And hallelujah when we get there, because we don't have to worry about slipping and falling anymore. So the model church we talked about last week is the church that studies the Word of God. And that is so important. We can't grow together if we don't study and know the Word. Now, I saw something really good this week. It was a cartoon drawing, but it had a lot of truth. It had a wolf with a puppet on its paw of a sheep. And the puppet of the sheep was talking to the other puppets. And here's the message of it. The sheep that were listening were ones that didn't study the Word of God, so they didn't know any better. And whatever the wolf was saying through the sheep puppet on his hand, they were listening to because they were ignorant. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. Study the Word of the Lord so that you know what's being said in the pulpit. You know what's being said, what's being quoted, because you will grow. And as David said last week, you'll get your toes stepped on. I'll get my toes stepped on. My toes are black and blue a lot of the time because I need it. But anyway, today I want to look at Christian fellowship and also worship. Christian fellowship, the church back in the New Testament times, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, which is important, but they also devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? That doesn't mean coming together for a church potluck and then engorging yourself with all the food and desserts that you can. Now, that is a form of fellowship, but that's not what we're referring to here. Fellowship is a body of believers that is coming together in unity for one purpose, one accord, and that is to love the Lord our God and to love each other. Now I'm going to do something a little different today. Now fellowship, it involves people from different walks of life and different backgrounds. People with different ideas and different thoughts. People with different ways of thinking. Boy, we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning and the past few weeks. Everybody's got different thoughts. But here's what it comes down to: when the rubber meets the road and you come into church, you forget everything else you know. When you walk through the doors of the church, you are here as a child of God. And what's most important is that you're believing together the words that God inspired men to write, that we believe it together, that we live it together, that we have the same mind. Now, I mean, I could teach Sunday school a lot different than Laura does, and she teaches a great way, but I would teach a different way. But the thing is, when we come together, we must know that God is our Father and Jesus is His Son, and the Holy Spirit was given to us when Jesus ascended back into heaven. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe in salvation. We've got to believe in telling others about Christ. When you come into God's house for fellowship, fellowship is praying together. Fellowship is singing together. Fellowship is serving one another together. And I want to tell you what, fellowship is so important because we need each other. I want to say that this morning. Cheyenne, I need you and you need me. And in certain ways, Mac, you need Marcy and Marcy needs you. See, God made us different for specific reasons, because if we all come together with our different gifts, we are putting into each other what God has instituted, and we're able to grow and feed off of one another. Now, I always love it when people come to me and they'll ask me a question or something about what I've preached or maybe something that I've taught, and I'm always glad to sit down and open the Word and share, because when we're sharing together in fellowship, we grow. We are strengthened. If you don't come to church, and I believe this with all my heart, when COVID happened and all the restrictions were put into place and nobody could come to church, I firmly believe that was the devil trying to disrupt. And you know what he's done? The devil did hit a lot of churches. And now you go by some church houses and the doors are closed. There's no more fellowship. Churches have gotten down to like a little, I call a skeleton crew now. And I've heard a lot of Christian people say, well, we're just trying to barely hang on. Well, you know what? If you're living for the Lord, you're not barely hanging on. If you're living for the Lord, you should get up out of bed every Sunday morning. You've got the freedom to be here, and you should make it an important thing of your day on Sunday to get out of bed. Now, we can all get out of bed early during the week to catch our favorite TV program of a morning, or we could stay up late to do something we just couldn't wait, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying, we need to make it a point to get up early and get out of bed and to come to God's house and come to Sunday school. Now, I'm not saying it's a requirement, but I think we should be motivated to come to Sunday school.
Because what we learn in Sunday school, I mean, we're breaking open the Word and we're really getting down into the nitty-gritty of it. I've learned a lot from what the things Laura's taught. I mean, I've studied the lesson, but when she teaches it, I learn a lot more because of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So that's why I'm saying fellowship is so important. But you've got to have fellowship with God first. See, it's good that we have fellowship together, but if we're not receiving from the Lord, then we're going to run empty and then we're going to be dry and then we're going to be of no use to anybody else. So it's so important that in our fellowship with the Lord that you and we've got to get on our faces every morning and we've got to talk to the Lord. Because when we're talking to the Lord, it's like when you've got your plants. How many of you have ever planted something, then you watch it for about 4 or 5 days, no water, and the sun's been beating on it, and then it starts to kind of curl up or whatever, turn a little brown on the edges. Oh, I better get out there and water that. And then you water something, and then all of a sudden, I was watching our yard die. And I'd go walk across the grass. I told Janine, I said, man, our yard the soil was white. I had never seen it that color. And the grass crunched under my feet. And this is what came to me when I did that. The Lord was showing me that's what's happening to a lot of Christians today. A lot of Christians aren't spending time with the Lord and they're not getting into the Word. They're not praying. And they're starting to spiritually dry up. But God sent us three 3 inches of rain at our house last week. And this is what I saw happen. I saw the grass start to turn green again. I saw the ground go back to its natural dark color. And Janine told me the other day, said, well, boy, that yard's going to need to be mowed. She said, that grass is really growing out there. Now, that wasn't her subtle way of telling me to get out there and get it done. She just let me know. But the grass turned green, and it got healthy, and it started to grow, and it looks vibrant again. And that's why I'm saying, if you are not receiving from God, you will dry up spiritually, and you will start to die. And what happens when a Christian is spiritually dead? They lose their effectiveness. It's like the Bible says, we are the salt of the world. And if we lose, you know, if you put just enough salt on meat, it tastes really good. What happens if you put too much salt on something? That's nasty. I remember one time somebody served burgers off a grill, and I mean they must have dumped about half a bag of Morton's table salt on that, and I couldn't hardly, you know, it was nasty. It was awful. I think my blood pressure went real high after just one bite. But a little bit of salt, the right amount of salt, let me say, the right amount of salt makes something taste really good. So you and I have got to be the salt of the earth. And we can't lose our effectiveness if we're going to reach those for Christ. Now, this past week, we had the yard sale, and it's coming up again this week. I want to share something with you. I tried to get every person. That's why I like to be down there by the tent a lot and then come up in here and walk around. Sometimes I miss people. But I like to go up to people. And I like to greet them and tell them who I am. And I like to get their name. And I just find something maybe to start a conversation with and get to talking to them. And it begins to open up. And yesterday I was talking with a young lady downstairs. And we had fellowship together because we started talking. And she said, you know, I haven't really been to church in some time. Really a long time. She said, I used to go to church years ago, but I don't go anymore. And I said, well, why don't you come? And I invited her to come. I said, be a part of our fellowship because we have a wonderful church family. And she said, you know what? I know she's not here today, but hey, the seeds have been planted. But if you and I are receiving from God, then our fellowship is always going to be strong. And also in that fellowship, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be times where some of us are weak, or someone out there coming up or out in the community, they're going to be weak. And sometimes we need to be the kind of person that they can lay against, that we could be their support. Maybe they could tell us what's going on in their life, and then we could pray for them in some way. If you look back at the early church of the New Testament, that's how they grew. They had fellowship with one another. Means they had love. They didn't put walls up of separation around certain people because of how they looked or where they come from. But they had love for one another, and everybody was accepted just as they are. And I've said this thousands of times, and you'll probably hear me say it thousands of times years down the road. If somebody came in off the street and they weren't dressed the best, they still got a very much welcome seat in this house, God's house, and they'll still be loved the same way as I'd love anybody that come in here dressed maybe in a $500 suit. I don't want to treat anybody different for how they look or how they smell. Now, I had a guy come up to me out here yesterday. I'm not making fun of him, so don't say the preacher was making fun of this guy or poking at him. But he hadn't had a bath in quite some time. But he come up and started talking to me, and even though the smell wasn't unpleasant, I wasn't worried about his smell. I was more worried about his heart. And we got to talking out there a little bit, and then before long, when I was getting to the point of inviting him to church, I could clearly see it was making him uncomfortable, and he walked away real quick. Well, that's all right. But with Christian fellowship, we've got to look back at what the early saints did. They were enjoying what they did in fellowship. Are you enjoying what you do in the church? Because if you don't, it's going to be clearly evident. We talked about greeters, you know, people that come into church. Now, if we had greeters that looked like they were baptized in pickle juice or that they swallowed a bottle of vinegar, and somebody comes to the door and they see somebody with a frown on their face, here, have a bulletin. Here, welcome to our church. We're glad you're here today. Yeah, I'm glad to be here too. Now, if you had somebody like that, are you going to want to come back to that church? Absolutely not. Now, if I stood up here and said, oh, I've got to preach a sermon today. Ain't nobody going to receive it. Well, that means there's no joy in what I'm doing. In the early church, that's what they did. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we've got real joy inside of our hearts, it's going to flow out of us. And I tell you what, I see a lot of people in here that got some good joy in them. We did a lot of laughing yesterday. I told Janine, I said, Effie's a great crew chief. Now, you want a job to do, all you got to do is ask her. Now, she'll give you a job, but she gives you a job with a smile. And she makes sure that you know what you need. She makes sure that you got what you need to get the job done. That makes sense? Okay. All right, make sure we're clear. But Effie does it with joy. And I'm not elevating Effie up on a platform or I'm not putting on her a pedestal. But I'm telling you what, this lady's down here at this church. She cleans the church. And there's others I know. I'm not leaving nobody out. I know there's others come down here. But these girls work hard. Bob and I were just saying earlier this morning, man, we can't believe what these women do. They are they're like an army. And they get everything ready for the yard sale, but they do it with joy because this is not about them. They know it's for the Lord. And everything that you do for the Lord, you do it with joy. You do it with rejoicing and celebration. I mean, I've told you, I love getting to come to church on Sunday. And I love getting to stand in the pulpit and preach God's word. I love to meet new people. I mean, it's exciting to me. And if I ever lose that, then I'm going to step down and I'll sit down in the seat and say, Lord, you're going to have to do something within me. But I don't ever want to lose that. Do I get frustrated? Yes. Do I get impatient? Yes. Do I have flaws? Yes. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I had the best time yesterday at yard sale. I always do at yard sale, though, when I'm here. I know I can only be here on Saturday. I wish I could be here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'd probably run some people up the wall. But no. But I'm glad that I could be here. But I had such a joy yesterday witnessing to people and meeting different ones and being with my brothers and sisters in Christ and working together. So, Effie, this Saturday, I hope you got some jobs for me because I'm going to need some. All right. All right, worshiping. I'm going to go on. I really feel like the Lord wants me to get into worship. I don't have much more time here. There was a breaking of bread. That's what we sang about this morning in our last hymn. We're breaking bread together in prayer. The breaking of bread refers to communion service. Prayer was done corporately in services. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're never to take it for granted. That's why I said we should be here. But worship, now when you think about worship, what do you think about? A lot of people that may have a one-track mind say, well, if I ask them what worship was, they'd say, well, we go to church, we open the hymn book, and they play the piano or instruments, and then we sing. That's a lot of people's idea of worship. But worship goes a little farther than that. Worship is praying for others. Worship is working the yard sale. Worship is making telephone calls. Worship is sending cards and letters of encouragement. Worship, there is so many different areas of worship. Reading God's word, doing everything that we do, it is worship. As long as we're doing it for God, it's worship. And we should have the type of servant's heart that says, Lord, I am here to worship today. I am here to serve you, Lord, because everything that has breath, I mean, we should praise God and we should serve Him. He's given us so much. He gave us His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, and He paid the penalty of your sins and mine. I mean, right there, that should make us want to worship. Worship is praying. And I told you, there ain't nothing wrong with getting down on your hands and your face and lifting your hands in prayer when you're in your quiet time at home. And if you want to raise a hand at church when you're singing, there ain't nothing wrong with it. One thing that I think that's probably made me the sickest in a lot of churches is when people decided what worship should be, and that's not right. Worship comes from the Lord. And I tell you what, for what He's done for me, if I want to lift my hands, I'm going to lift my hands. I ain't trying to make nobody Pentecostal or apostolic. I ain't trying to change you in any way. I'm not telling you that's how you should do it. You should worship the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and you should do it lovingly, and it should be a natural thing that comes out of you. That's how we should worship. And when I worship the Lord and I serve others, I want to make sure that I'm doing it with the right intention and that my heart's in the right place. Another great thing about worship, And Laura did it this morning when she was up here. Does anybody remember what Laura made a comment on? She said, well, Milton and Corrine's not here. Yeah. Well, Larry and Patty's not here. I know everybody's not here every Sunday because they travel or they go other places, so they're not always here. And we never know when a need arises. But here's the thing about worship is we recognize when somebody's not here. And when somebody's not here, have you ever heard someone go, wow, so-and-so wasn't here today. I wonder if they're all right. That shows concern and love right there. That's worship. When you care about the flock. And when I stand up here and I see that certain seats are empty, then yes,
I'm concerned in my heart, and then I will reach out to them. Hey, is everything all right? Yeah, just, and they'll tell me something might have come up, or sometimes somebody's been put in the hospital and maybe I didn't hear about it. Somebody forgot to tell me that. Well, I'll find out, but I want to reach out to them and I want to let them know that we care about them and that they're loved. See, when you know you're loved, when we love each other, when we are worshiping together, man, it makes you want to be together. Now, if we were a divided family, who'd want to come to church then? If we were fighting and bickering, who'd want to be here? Nobody. People would say, man, I ain't stepping nowhere near the doorstep of that church. And I told you the story about the time they sent me all the way up by Cesar. Man, they want to open that church back up. Nobody, they closed it down because they was always fighting. Well, after months of being closed down, first Sunday in there, they was back to fighting already. And they're like, well, what's the problem? I said, well, you got to get the devil out of this church. That's your whole problem. You got to get the devil out of your heart and your life, and you're going to have to start loving one another. And then once I said that, they didn't like it, and then they started fighting against each other even harder. And you know what? That church is sitting up there on that little county road. Doors are closed. Because the people lost the heart to worship. They lost their love for the Lord. But anytime the doors are open, we should be here. And we should, like I said, we ought to get up early. And Laura made a good statement in Sunday school this morning. When we come in here and we know it's right at 10:30, I'm not getting on anybody, but you know what we ought to do? We ought to sit down because Effie is playing the piano. And this is what Laura made this point, a good point. She's got a gift from God. And she's blessing us with that gift and talent. And it's preparing our hearts for worship. It's getting us ready as we're entering the Lord's presence. And we should get a seat. We should sit down and we should prayerfully and quietly listen and listen to what God's trying to say to us. Now there's time for fellowship afterward. And there's time for fellowship if we get here early enough. Right? That means going to bed early. I used to have, and I'm telling you, I pastored a little country church and it started at 9:30. You know when I'd get there? 9:35. Everybody else is already there and they're like, well, how come the preacher can't get here on time? Well, because I was up late. It took discipline and sacrifice, and that's what it takes in worship. Discipline and sacrifice. We have to look at ourselves as God's church, and we have to ask, are we doing things God's way, or are we doing it our way? Because, you know, now we don't know everybody's life. We don't know everything going on in their life, but God does. And it's not for us to point a finger and say, well, this is what I think of you, or this is what I perceive in my heart about you. That's not how it's supposed to be. When we get together and worship, we're supposed to look at every single person and we're supposed to embrace them. Whether it be a physical hug or embrace them in love and just say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that Cody and Tammy and Annie are here. I'm glad that David's here and Piper and Billy and Brandy and Bob. And I'm glad my wife are definitely with me because that's the only way she'd get here is me. I'm glad Effie's here, Laura, Mike, Terry, Sheridan, Laura, and Harold, and Jane. I'm all of you. I'm not going to stand and name everybody. But I'm glad you're all here. And I love that you're here. And I'm so thankful that you're in our fellowship. But if we want our fellowship to grow, if we want to be the model, like the model church of the New Testament, then we got to put everything else aside. We got to quit hiding things. You put things under the carpet and eventually it's going to build up. And when you go walk back over that rug, you're going to trip. It's better to get things out in the open. It's better to get real and get right and live for the Lord. Because if we're going to see this church continue to grow and continue to keep the doors open,
then we got to continue doing what God wants, not what we want or anybody else. That's how it works. I don't know about anybody else, but that's what I believe. We have to do it God's way. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning about a church I pastored. They didn't like me preaching light and love. They didn't like preaching the word. They wanted me to preach what they wanted to hear. And I said, well, you might as well leave. And I said, good, I might as well, because I ain't going to be very effective. And that church today, sitting with the doors closed. We've got to be the model church. We're not perfect, but we've got to reach the lost for Christ. That's what we're here for.